and I'll probably end up. Thank you so much for such a warm welcome. Thank you, Pastor Perry, Pastor Lois, and all the elders and ministers here and all the family of God. So happy to just be with you. This is my fourth opportunity to greet this weekend, so I'm just thankful. We had a good time this morning with the early birds that came out for worship this morning. Come on up to here. You guys have seen this young woman with me. This is one of my spiritual daughters, but she's just a wonderful vessel of God and right to her own self. And so I just wanted her to greet you. Many of you have heard a little bit of her testimony. Some of the ladies heard it yesterday, but she's also a professor at Purdue University in mechanical engineering. She has her own lab and all that kind of good stuff. But what's nice about it is that she's spirit-filled. She's a radical lover of God. She has a strong mantle that's prophetic upon her life, a marvelous intercessor, and just someone who really, you know, to meet her is to know her, is to love her. And I'm so honored that she would come and serve with me this weekend. But I just wanted her to be able to, whatever's on her heart, just share with you and just encourage you this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's definitely been an honor to be here and to travel with Apostle Tanya. It's my spiritual mom. I call her mom, too. And just to be here and worship, you guys, I mean, it's just been a blessing to be in this environment and to just worship God with you all weekend. Just want to encourage everyone just to continue to press into God. And, you know, sometimes we make decisions really quickly on some things, and we just sometimes have to keep pressing in until we really catch that wind. On Friday night, Apostle was talking about catching the wind of the will of God and just really trying to make sure that we catch that wind as we go forth in our journeys with the Lord. And so just want to encourage you in that, and thank you for this time.
Thank you. I have so many things on my heart. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm preaching 10 messages at one time. But I've come accustomed to just trying to find that spot that God wants to talk about and just let that happen. Because there's so many different needs that are always among us at any given time that you never know exactly what it is that God wants to say. So I kind of start where I think he wants to begin, and then I just open my heart up to freely allow him to take us where he wants us to go. Is that okay? Amen. I think we got some radical believers in the house this morning. Y'all don't sound like radical believers. I said, I think we have some radical believers in the house. You know, I had a vision. I think it was in one of the worship sessions. But I saw a great big rod, for lack of a better description. It was huge. And it just came out of heaven. And it penetrated through the earth, and it hit kind of a layer of cement that was underneath. So it went through the soil, and then it hit, there we go, that's the word I'm looking for. It hit a bedrock. And I said, well, God, well, what's going on here? And I believe that there's something that we need to do, because it's time for it to penetrate through this bedrock. I don't know if you following what I'm saying. And I don't know if it's an act of a prophetic act we need to do. I don't know if the prophet's got a word concerning this. But I believe if we'll just take a few minutes right now, I think we can take that rod that I saw come out, and it stopped at a bedrock. I want it to go through the bedrock. Is that okay? All right. So now the best way to do this, I have no idea because I lost all my musicians. So can I have one musician? Did they disappear? Can I get one musician, two musicians, three musicians? Can I get the worship team? You know, can I get some folk up here? And I don't know. I promise you, I have no idea where we're going. I just know we're trying to follow where he's going. All right. So just jump into the route. I gave you the visual. We're going to get through this bedrock. That's what I saw. All right, so come on. We're going to get through this bedrock. We're going to penetrate through this. This is not an exercise in pumping you up. Trust me. I'm not the kind of preacher. I don't like to pump anybody up. I just like to follow where it is I believe that God is trying to take us so we can get to where it is that God wants to deposit. So I don't know how we're going to do this, but I know that there's power in the prayer language. I know there's power in our ability to worship, to speak in tongues, to allow all the gifts to flow within us that God has given to us. And I believe as we do this and the sounds of worship begin to emerge on the inside of us, I believe that we're going to penetrate and we're going to go through this bedrock that I feel in the spirit realm. And we're going to begin to see when we penetrate that bedrock, we're going to begin to see the rivers of living water begin to gush up and gush out over us in a new way. I believe we shifted on Friday, but I think there's another depth. There's something, there's a depth that we need to go to. So, Father, we ando rosaka, reme ni leon sonoranabashaka. God, we honor you, we honor you, God, we honor you. Yes, we honor you. We worship you, God. We worship you. We worship you, God. We give you glory. We give you praise, God. We magnify. We honor you. We give you glory, God. We lift our voice and we shout unto you. We lift our voice and we praise you. And we magnify you. And we glorify you. Yes, come on, people of God. Eko mamanesha, eko lamasha, kebeneresha. Oh, worthy, 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 worthy. Glory, glory. by faith. There's something that's shifting among us right now in this bedrock. I promise you, you're going to feel something different from this moment forward. And I want you to see this rod going as we all on one accord, and we're going to do it with him. He's not just striking by himself, but on one accord, we're all striking with him. Oh, hallelujah. So let's follow his lead on how he chooses to strike the rod. So everybody with your hands up just like his. And on the count of three, we will follow and do exactly how he strikes the rod. One. Three. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Yes! Hallelujah! Come on, let's release a shout. Come on, just a shout. A shout of victory. A shout of victory. We're going to release one more shout. You know, there's somebody that's getting an emotional healing in this shout. In other words, you've been so depressed. I don't know who you are. You have been so depressed that you've not elevated your voice above a whisper. Like shouting and raising your voice has not even been something you could do because you have been so depressed. It's a depression that you have been in. And I believe as we shout this last shout this morning, that individual, those individuals who've been in that depression, I'm believing that your voice is going to be heard again so that the enemy will know that you have been restored and that depression doesn't have a place in you.
Do you know, as we're doing this, I know some of you are thinking, okay, what effect has this happened? Something changed when that happened. Now, the thing is, something, it just wasn't just a general, something changed in your life. And so as we're shouting, something happened in your life. And so you're going to try to look for familiar territory, but it's not going to be there because something changed. So just realize something changed for you. For us, but for you too. So something's happened, and we believe for that, that it's going to be different. So really focus on God. Something's different. I'm different. My life has changed. And so this breakthrough is for you and for all of us to have and experience that together.
Amen. So on the count of three, let me do this. Who is it that's been so depressed that your voice hasn't been above a whisper? Is that you? Okay, I see several hands. Why don't y'all come on up and get in the middle of this shout? Come on up here. If that's been you, just stand right here. Come on, we're going to shout for them. Their voices are being restored even now. Their voices have been restored. I mean, it's just been so heavy on you that you've not been able to really get above a whisper. You try, but you haven't been able to get above a whisper. That's men, that's women. This thing of depression, the weight of this is going down. Just kind of come and stand right here. Doesn't matter who you are. Is everybody here that wants to be in this space right here? And as a family of God, we're going to raise up a shout. And let's sustain this shout. It's called a Shabbat. That's what it's called. It's called a Shabbat. And a Shabbat is a loud, sustaining shout unto God. It's not just we're just saying hallelujah. It's like a sound that comes out of you, that as you allow it to come out of you, it's the sound of heaven, and it can sound any kind of way. And I know when you're a little conservative, you'd be like, I don't know if I want to scream or shout like that. But do you know that Shabbat? When you Shabbat the Lord, it breaks things off of you. It breaks things out of the atmosphere, and the spirit of depression is being broken off of the family of God that is standing here. So we will have a Shabbat, a sustained, loud expression of shout before the Lord. On the count of three, one, two, three. Hey! I feel the strength of God coming. I feel the strength of God coming. I feel the strength of God coming. Oh, na la mandele, ekebo, sebo, shebe, shaba. Yeah, yeah, la mama mandele. No more depression. 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 It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. God. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, worship team. Oh, as you return to your seats, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. There's something in the atmosphere. There's a shifting. There's a movement. There's a gushing that's coming up from the beneath us that shall come up out of us. It's like the river of living water is being released fresh and new. If you guys can give me just a little bit of sound in the monitor, that will help me. I can work with my voice just a little bit. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all right. Put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have a long message for you this morning, and it's not just a message. I believe it's a word from the Lord. God has really been dealing with me in the area of righteousness, and God has been instructing me wherever I go to talk about righteousness. To again stir his people. To again remind his people that we are a righteous people. And he's just given me one message right now, and it's called stand. Stand for righteousness. Stand for righteousness. Now, it may mean something different to each of us. Some of us are already standing and have been standing. And if that's you, then my message to you is to continue to stand. Find new strength and resolve in your stand. And then there are some of us that may be here that you lost your stance. And you haven't been able to get back to the place that you knew you once stood in the area of your conviction of righteousness. Well, I would encourage you to grab your stand again. Take it back. From what the enemy has stolen, grab your stands back and allow God to put a rod in your back and cause your feet to be planted again so that you can stand. And then there are those that God has said have not found their stand. They've been in the church, they've been in the family of God, but they have not found that fortitude to take a stand because the enemy just really breathes upon them like an enemy breathing down your neck. And God says, tell my people that they can take a stand. That when they take a stand, I'm standing in them. That they're never, ever taking a stand for righteousness where they're standing alone. But they are always standing. I'm always standing with them. And I believe what is in my spirit is not just a message. 2 points, 3 points, and then, okay, go home with a conclusion. I believe it is a word from the mouth of God saying, in this hour, there is a fresh deposit. There is something coming from heaven that's going to empower us to be able to stand again for righteousness. We can look at the ungodly things and call them ungodly. But yet we can still stand and say, but as for me and my house, kind of like Joshua. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. There's a reason why I take my stand for righteousness. I don't apologize for being a believer. I don't apologize for walking in holiness. I don't apologize for walking in sanctification. I don't apologize for the things that make up the Christian experience, but rather I take a stronger stance again for what it is that I agreed to when I said yes to Jesus come into my heart. And I'm telling you, God is saying there's a fresh wind of his strength being released to us if we will grab a hold to it. I don't know about you. I'm not unconvinced about this message. I think about it every time I open the scriptures now. Everywhere I go, it just keeps rolling over and over and over inside of me. Every conversation that I have, eventually, I'm going to use the word righteousness. I'm going to use the word righteous. I'm going to use the word upright. Not because our righteousness is something that we have. It's because he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's a reason I can talk about righteousness, because it's not, and it did not begin with Tanya, but it began with the Father saying to the Son, will you become the sacrifice for mankind? Will you become the reconciler, reconciling man back to me? Will you be the one that dies for all the sins of the world? And Jesus said, yes, I will. Why? So that they can stand. So that they can stand. We don't have to be confused about the hour that we live in. It's gross darkness upon the face of the earth. The Bible has already said in the latter days it'll be like the days of Noah. So we shouldn't be so thrown off when we hear the news reports. We shouldn't be so thrown off when we see what it is that the world heralds now as right. The world heralds now as this is the lifestyle we should embrace. We shouldn't be thrown off by that. But rather we should cry out to God the more. And we should say, God, cause me to be a vessel that will walk in righteousness. Cause me to be a vessel that won't back up when the pressure comes forward. Cause me to be like the church of the early days in the book of Acts. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it gives you this whole indication about what they went through having not received the Holy Ghost. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all of the things that the believers went through, all the fathers and mothers of the faith and what they went through. And then it says there were people who were sawed asunder, their children were murdered, all these things. They were able to continue to stand, and they had not even received the promise of the Holy Ghost. We live in the dispensation where the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh without measure. God has said, I have given you my Spirit, and if they could do it without the empowering presence of the Holy Ghost, what can we do? But we forget. Sometimes we've forgotten who lives on the inside of us. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we get satisfied. Sometimes we get neutral in our journey. But I don't believe that God wants us to be that way. So he speaks to his servants and he says, remind my people that I have called them as a righteous people and that they can stand for righteousness. You need to get your Holy Ghost courage outfit out of the closet. Y'all know the outfits that you have, that you put on when you really want to dress up, and you say, this is my outfit. I don't know about, you know, we don't dress anymore, so it's very hard. You know, we used to dress when we went to church, and so we've gotten comfortable and casual, but every now and then you got to put on your dress outfit, don't you? Every now and then you got to put on that suit and that tie, and you go and get your finest dress or your finest suit, and you get all of your accessories, and you put them on, the wedding that's coming up, all kinds of celebrations, and when you step out, everybody say, oh, you look really good. Oh, you look so handsome. Oh, I really like your outfit. I want us to get back in our closets and pull out our wardrobe for righteousness. And I want us to really, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, I want us to get dressed again, draped in his righteousness, not walking around in pride, not walking in arrogance, but walking in such a way that as for me and my house, I don't have to tell you I'm righteous. I am righteous. You can see that I'm righteous. You can see you can't say anything in my presence. I'm talking about on your job. Do your employees and do the people that work with you feel comfortable saying any kind of thing in your presence? You see, when you take a stand for righteousness, you don't have to tell people what it is that you believe. It's like when they get in your presence, they go, well, I don't know why I can't just talk like that in front of you, but it's something about I just can't. My nephew, I have nieces and nephews that I spend a lot, I'm very active in their development. So I spend a lot of time with them. And so I'm always trying to find out, what's the latest music? You know, tell me what you're listening to. And so I have this one nephew, he keeps me all up to speed on what's happening in the rap zone and all of this kind of stuff. And so I said, well, who's the latest? He said, well, you can't listen to this one. I said, well, why can't I listen to this one? He said, you can't listen to this one. I'm like, but you listen to it. But Auntie, I listen to it, but you can't listen to this one. As a matter of fact, they have a clean version. Oh, but no, you can't listen to that either. And so I begged him. It was something he was listening to recently. I said, well, can I listen to half of it? He was like, no, absolutely not. You cannot. And I could not convince him to let me listen to one of the musics that he was listening to get ready for his basketball game. And he said, no, you can't. I just can't do it. And I felt so good that he did not feel comfortable playing it with me in his presence. No matter how much I said, come on, let me listen to it. They said, no. So I have some sisters that like to hang out. And I said, well, can I go with you guys? No, you can't come. Well, I want to fellowship and have some time with you guys. Why can't you can't come? You're going to mess up our good time. You can't come. So there are certain things they won't take me to. And it's not because I'm a preacher. When I'm with my family, I do not wear the robe of my calling. I try to be hanging out just like everybody else. And they all say the same, no, you can't come. And I said to myself, that's interesting. So when I go in business, when I go and I do different things, I continue to get that same encounter. And I said, God, that's not something about me that makes me like that. That is something about the God in me that makes the environment. See, you and I are environment changers. When we take our stand for righteousness, we can go into an environment and the environment will respond to us. And then you will know, well, wait a minute. I just want to connect. And God is saying, I want you to disconnect darkness. I want you to come into a situation and divide light from darkness. We've gotten away from that because we want to connect. This church has wonderful relationships. You can feel it in here. There's a community. There's family in here. You guys are connected to one another. But when you go out into the world and you're away from your family, you need to get comfortable with the fact that you cause division and you cause people to feel uncomfortable. And you need to not be quiet about that. You need to be okay with the fact that you think differently, that you approach life differently. You don't need to apologize for it. You don't need to shut your voice down because that is what the world wants to do. It wants to silence your voice for the stands that you take. We used to live in a country where that was not the case, but now you need to understand where we're moving towards, where the Christian voice is going to be the one that is trying to be shut down. But when we live and stand for righteousness, there is not anybody that can shut our voice down because we can stand up and take a stand for righteousness. And God says, I will stand in front of you if you take a stand for me. And I believe it with all my heart. And our kids need to learn how to stand. And one of the ways they'll learn how to stand, if they watch us stand, if they continue to look to us and say they made it through. One of my testimonies, I never forget, God called me at the age of 19, and my one prayer was, God, I want to be saved, walking with you all the way through my 20s, so that when I get to 29, the night before my 30th birthday, I want to be able to testify and say that God kept me all the way through my 20s, and I refuse to walk a life of unrighteousness. And that was my prayer going into my 20s. And do you know, it just happened to be a Wednesday night service 10 years later from that prayer. That was my 30th birthday, and I happened to be in the house of the Lord. And I remember I said, God, I want to be able to give my testimony, but I didn't know I was going to give my testimony on the exact day that I turned 30. And I stood up and I grabbed the mic and I said, I have a testimony. You see, some people have the testimony of, I was rebellious. I was hard-headed. I was strung out. I was stiff-necked. God had to break my back in order for me to say yes to him. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that testimony. But there are some others that have the testimony that says, I grabbed the word of God. I hid it in my heart. And by God's grace, I kept walking. And by God's grace, I kept standing. And by God's ability, I was able to say no when sin knocked at my door. I was able to keep getting up and moving forward. And as I did it, when I got through that decade and looked back over my life to think about where God had brought me from, I said, God kept me all the way through. And it became my faith builder to say, if you can keep me through the decade where they say it is the most tempting, it is the most hardest, it's the time when kids don't know what they want to do. I fell in love with Jesus my first year in college, and I said, God, I don't want to be a compromised Christian. I want to be a Christian that stands for righteousness. God, will you help me? And every year the Lord helped me all the way up until when I got to 30, I had the testimony that God can keep you if you want to be kept. He can hold you if you want to be held. There's always two ways you can learn things. You can learn through the school of hard knocks. Go ahead, hit your head, and then you realize God is God. Or you can learn through the school of thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You can grab the word of God and say, God, I believe that the word can keep me. And if you believe that the word can keep me, I come to encourage those that took the Levite vow. You stood for God. And you continue to stand for God. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. People don't preach about that. But I want to encourage you. Samuel served God faithfully through the administration of David and through the administration of Saul and through the administration of Solomon. David, Samuel served faithfully. So we can serve faithfully, guys, and we can stand for righteousness. Why do I start here? Because in 1 Corinthians, I was there a little bit on Friday night, and the second chapter in verse 9 through 10, I paused there and shared some of these things because the scripture says, as it's written, eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And I shared with the people what that word meant. The word love there means those who host him, those who welcome him, those who dearly love him, those who entertain him. You know, when you have a backyard party or you have a Thanksgiving meal or you have a Christmas celebration, you spend a lot of time preparing for the guests that are coming. You make sure the house is clean. You make sure the food is right. You make sure everybody knows what time they should arrive. And when they come, what do we do? We try to make them feel as though mi casa is su casa. We try to make them feel as though my house is your house. And when you come, everything I have belongs to you. Make yourself comfortable. We tell them things like take your shoes off, throw your hair back, enjoy yourself. We say, here, you need a cold beverage. Here's some good food that we've made for you. We welcome our guests. And God says, listen, I've got good things in store for those who love me, who will welcome me, who prepares their heart and their mind and their thinking and say, God, I welcome you into my thought life. Oh, we need to say that again. God, I welcome you into my thought life. I welcome you to invade my thinking. I welcome you, God, to take your seat upon the throne of my heart. God, I invite you. I dearly love you. I want to entertain you. I give you all the glory. So yes, there's a lot of nice popular movies that are out right now that I find the saints are finding very interesting. Things like Scandal. It's okay for those of you who don't go to the movies, but those of you who do, y'all know exactly what I just said. There's all these shows now that we sit in front of the television and watch that violate all of the law of God. And we do it for the sake of being entertained, where we are watching sin and sin now entertains us. It used to be a time where you could watch and your imagination could wonder what was happening. They've taken the imagination out and they said, we don't want you to guess what goes on. We're going to show you everything that goes on. And so saints are watching these things. Some of us watch them intentionally. Some of them watch them mindlessly. But what we allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear impact our ability to welcome and entertain the Spirit of God. He is not there when we are doing things that he is not pleased with. And so, but if we love him, we welcome him into these places. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the very deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. That's why we have to be careful. When God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, what is he saying? Don't be conformed to the spirit of the age. We are all in the spirit of this age. And it behooves us to not make a mistake to know that we are spending time in a time period where deception is very big in the earth. The Bible says even in the last days that the very elect would be deceived. So we have to pay attention to what the scripture says, and we have to ask ourselves, where have I allowed myself to become more conformed to the spirit of the age versus the spirit of God? It's going to be subtle, so therefore you have to ask yourself, where do I have subtle doors of unrighteousness open? They become like mosquitoes. You know, if you get a little hole in your screen, it just seems like that mosquito can find its way through that little hole in your screen. And then all of a sudden, all through the night, you're being bit by mosquitoes, and you can't figure out where the mosquito came in at. But he came in through a little hole in the screen. Or he came in when you open the door. And they come in and they attack. Deception is like that. Deception is the one thing people have gone. And I preach this, and sometimes I feel the wall of resistance. The last person to know they're deceived is the person that's in deception. That's one of the hardest things for us to understand. You don't know you're being deceived until the Spirit of God tells you you're being deceived. Because we will think we're going in the right direction, but we hear a word from the Lord. And all of a sudden, our eyes become enlightened, or we begin to open up our eyes, and we see something we hadn't seen before. Then we realize I was on the road of deception. Well, how did I get to deception? I got to deception because I quit looking into the perfect law of liberty, and I forgot what manner of man I was, and I forgot to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So I became self-deceived. I can hear the word and not do the word, and I will become self-deceived. And sometimes we forget about that. And when we become self-deceived, it's not the devil's fault. Self-deceived is not the devil's fault. It's not our spouse's fault. It's not our kid's fault. It's not our boss's fault. self-deception is our fault because we look into the perfect law of liberty, we quote the words of God, we sing the word of God, but we don't apply the word of God. That's why I love the vision of this church. When I heard that vision spoken this morning, I could hear that this church is saying, listen, we don't want you just to be a Christian. We don't want you just to know the Bible. We want you to have the fruits of what the Word of God says in your life. And when you have vision, that means that that's what you're stepping into. That's where you're going. That's the direction you need to be headed. And I'm coming here this morning to challenge you and say, how much have you aligned yourself with the vision that's been spoken in this house so that you walk in such a place of victory and such a place of awareness that you can feel when you're off course. Not just going through the motions, but you begin to feel when you're shifting away from the ways of God. It's subtle. The enemy doesn't just come and snatch you away. The enemy comes and he subtly, one by one, step by step, and he causes you to drift. You drift in your thinking, your thought life. And when we drift in our thought life, then our behaviors follow. It's as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's our thought lives that drift. And then our behaviors begin to follow. And then all of a sudden we don't realize how far we've drifted because we've gotten away from hearing a word from the Lord, not knowing the scripture, hearing the word. That's the revelation of God for you for the day. The revelation of God for you for the hour, for the moment, for what it is that you're supposed to do right now. And obeying a right now word from God keeps you out of the place of deception. Does this make sense? So it says that we haven't received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit of him who is from God, that we might know the things that has been freely given to us by God. Good things for us. Great things for us. New things for us. Richer things for us. Oh, my goodness. Richer, newer, greater things. This morning in the service, I gave a quick illustration about there's a way that you can experience God. And then from that experience, you get a new level of revelation and knowledge of who he is and what his will is and how he unfolds himself to you. Then you get a greater demonstration of who God is in your life because you begin to walk out that new place of understanding of the experience that you encounter. Let me say it again this way. This morning we had an experience. I said I saw a vision. We said, let's get this steak. Let's go head down to the bedrock. Let's break it open. That's an experience. That's just supernatural experience. Something God put in my heart. Let's do it by faith. In the days ahead, you're going to begin to get revelation about what took place. God's going to begin to unfold it for you. And then all of a sudden, you're going to remember the shout, the scream, the song, the time of prayer. And all of a sudden, God's going to say, this is what I did for you in that moment. And then all of a sudden, experience gets wisdom and revelation. And then as you get wisdom and revelation, you begin to walk it out in demonstration in a different way. And then you be encouraged to say, I remember being in a service where the preacher said, we're going to shout and God's going to break through a bedrock. I didn't understand it when she did it. All I know is I obeyed what she said. And the next week and the week after next, I found something fresh operating in my life, and in my quiet time, God began to teach me and reveal to me what it was that happened at that moment. So now I'm walking in a new place of understanding, and I can demonstrate that I know how to hear the voice of God, and I'm not afraid to shout when somebody says shout. I have a new experience and demonstration. Are we okay with that? When I walk in that new place of demonstration, you know what happens? I get a new experience. Should I try and show them what I was saying? Come on, y'all. Help me with this. I want everybody to see it. So you guys come help me with this. She's going to be experience. I'm going to be revelation knowledge, and he's going to be demonstration. In our walks of faith, you need to have encounters with God. You need to have ongoing encounters with God. You need to be going from one place of revelation of who God is to the next place. We are not designed by God's providence to go backwards. We are designed to move forward. So after I have my experience and God begins to give me revelation knowledge and I begin to demonstrate it, then I begin to get my next experience. By faith, I walk in the next experience with the Father. Then revelation knowledge by the Holy Ghost comes along to say, hey, by the way, let me tell you what it was that was happening in the experience that you experienced. And then you begin to fellowship with revelation knowledge, and you begin to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I knew you loved me, but now I really know you love me because I have a different revelation. And then when that comes, then I'm able to demonstrate the love of God to mankind in a new way that I never knew I had the ability to love like that. But God loved me in a new way. I began to experience the understanding of what God had done for me. I began to walk in a new demonstration out the door to someone else, and then what began to happen? Oh my God, a new revelation I began to experience. I didn't think I could do the things that now God is showing me. So the Holy Ghost comes along to remind you of what it is that God just showed you. And he said, now remember when we did all of that? Let me tell you what God was trying to do on the inside of you. And so now another crusty layer of your flesh has been defeated. And now you get to walk in a new dimension of victory. And as you do that, then you come on over here and you begin to demonstrate. So go on out there and demonstrate, because the Holy Spirit is at work on the inside of you, causing you to walk and to live in a way that you haven't lived. And while you're doing that, hallelujah, here comes another experience. And while you're in that experience, you're just caught up and you're just worshiping God and you're glorifying God. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Holy Ghost. Service is over. You at home in your prayer closet, and the Holy Ghost begins to tell you, let me tell you why you was on the floor rolling around, hollering and screaming and crying in my presence, because I was breaking some things off of you. And you say, oh, really, God? You sovereignly touched me. God can touch me. And when God touches me, then I begin to walk in a new place of victory, because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. And that thing that used to hold me in bondage ain't holding me in bondage no more. And then I'm out there telling other people, you don't have to keep living like that. You don't have to keep doing like that, because God can do for you what he did for me. And then as I tell you, and then all of a sudden we can do this for the next half hour, and we could remember from where we started. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I know every major encounter that I had with God. And when you look back over your life, old saints used to say, and I think things over. And you look back and say, I can truly say, I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. I got a test with the words of that song. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Say, I got a testimony. And when you say that, what does that mean? That means I didn't go backwards. Notice the route didn't go this way. I went from faith to faith. I went from glory to glory. And as I'm walking with God, the Holy Spirit is there. That's what Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus, that they would have revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. And the Holy Spirit telling us what it is that God is doing on the inside of us. And as he's talking to us, we go out and demonstrate it for other people to be able to see. And so in the middle of darkness, they can say, I know what you used to be. I know you used to hang out with me. I know you used to do hair on with me. I know you used to be at the bar in the nightclub with me. I notice you don't do that anymore. You say, that's right, because I've got an encounter with God. Causes me to walk in righteousness. Because I walk in righteousness, I get greater experiences. And as I get greater experiences, I get greater revelation. And when I get greater revelations, don't tell me, I begin to understand that Jesus, for this purpose, was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what is it that can keep me from the glory of God? I'm not going to let sin, I'm not going to let my flesh, I'm not going to let my desires, I'm not going to let the spirit of this age hold me in bondage, because I understand if I just keep walking with him. If I just keep walking with him, I can get a greater demonstration of who he is. And if I get a greater demonstration of who he is, I get greater revelation. You see, we're to go deeper and deeper and deep. There's no end to our God. So when we hit bedrock, come on, y'all, that's why we had to hit bedrock today. When we hit a place of bedrock, Woo! When we hit the place of bedrock, by faith, we get to the crossroad of a new experience. And then Revelation comes along to say, yeah, we broke up some things. There's some things you couldn't stand before, but now you can stand. There were some things you couldn't say no to before, but now you're going to be able to say no to because you have a greater revelation of who I am. So come on and get that demonstration. And let's keep moving forward in the things of God. Come on, just give them a hand. They did really good. They want to keep walking. Now, did God speak to you in that illustration? Listen, that's what when we talk about righteousness, everybody has times in their life where you have major demarcations with God. Can I tell you something? That ain't every day. See, we get discouraged because we don't get all that every day. It's not supposed to happen every day. It's supposed to happen at the designated time so that you have time to marinate with the Holy Spirit so that fruit can begin to grow. The fruit, the Bible talks about the fruit of righteousness. The fruit begins to grow in your life so that you can prove out what it is that you now understand by the Spirit of God. And that takes some time to do some demonstration because God doesn't want us to just demonstrate it one time. He wants us to demonstrate it as a way of life. And then when we have been faithful over that series of exchange with the Holy Spirit, he sets us up. And the next thing you know, you got another demarcation in your journey. But what we see in today's culture, because everything is fast and everything is instantaneous and everything we want overnight, that we think we can skip the process of the kingdom. The process of the kingdom doesn't change. So in between your demonstration, you give him glory. You worship him. You live right before him. You live holy. You don't get distracted. You don't get discouraged and walk away because you don't have that great experience that you had. No, you just keep on going. And at the appointed time, am I right? At the appointed time, and everybody's got an appointed time, that big X marks the spot. And the next thing you know, you got a new experience in righteousness and holiness, and you begin to say, I want to live right. Because why? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because God is with me. If I'm in the valley, he's with me. If I'm on the mountaintop, he's with me. If I'm in the journey going up, he's with me. His rod and his staff is comforting me. So even though I don't have the swing from the rafter experience, I haven't heard heaven shake and I got some great revelation, if I stay faithful, there comes the time where X marks the spot. And God said, keep on coming because I'm about to take you from this place that you have been in, and I'm going to catapult you into the next place that I have already designed for you. If we'll learn to walk by faith. And then we ask for revelation, knowledge, and the spirit of wisdom to be our portion. And God causes us to demonstrate. That's what growing up in faith is like. That's what holding on to righteousness is like. And we have to be careful because everybody wants everything fast. Everything is fast. I need a telephone number. Remember the days you used to have to go to the yellow pages? First of all, you had to go find the yellow page. Some of y'all don't even know what a yellow page book is. All you know is Yelp. But some of us know what a yellow page is. Remember how they deliver the yellow page every so many months on the front porch, and you get this yellow page, and it was worse than the Strong's Concordance. and it would be somewhere near the phone or underneath in a drawer. And when you needed to look up somebody's number, you had to go get the yellow pages. And you had to go through it, and you had to dig through it, and it took time for you to get the yellow pages. Y'all remember 411? We thought we had progressed from yellow pages to 411. I need somebody's number on so-and-so and so-and-so. Hold the phone. Just a minute. Checking the number. And now we can say, I'm thinking about dating so-and-so. Can you show me his prison record? We can get anything quick, fast, in a hurry. Drop your credit card. We'll give you a full rundown on Sonny Boy. But not so in the kingdom. In the kingdom, God wants to develop fruit that lasts. And so we need to understand process. We need to understand that God has these great things in store for us, but they don't all come at one time. If he threw all of his greatness on us at one time, we'd all just might as well go to heaven because it would kill us. We wouldn't be able to stand under the weight of all of his goodness. So he shows us at demarcation times in our life. And I believe this weekend is a demarcation time for many of you. That God is doing something. He's got an X marking the spot for you. And it's a new course that you're going to be walking on. Let me give you a couple more scriptures and I'm done. In verse number 13, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, it says, these things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's so important. We only can compare spiritual things with spiritual. You cannot compare spiritual things with natural things, only with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive, verse 14, the things of the Spirit of God. Your natural man, your natural mind can't do it. It's impossible, for they are foolishness to him. Some of the things that God is going to be requiring of you, some of the things that God has already required of you, things that he's shown you, your natural mind short circuit because it's foolishness. You can't get it. The natural mind will never comprehend the things of the Spirit. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit. Nor can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. And in Romans, jump over to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's the natural man. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded or naturally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man or the carnal mind is enmity against God. One of the reasons we have to fight so much with our thought life is that our natural mind or the way that we think in the natural is in direct opposition against the ways of God. And guess what, people of God? That's internal. That's a war that's happening on the inside of us. So we think we're fighting the devil. We're not fighting the devil 95% of the time. We're fighting us. We're fighting our natural mind. We're fighting our carnal thoughts. We're fighting the way our flesh wants to go, which our flesh used to be under the devil as a father, but now we're under the Father of light. And so there's this opposition that goes on the inside of it. It's a fight, for it is not subject. Hear me. Your mind, your natural mind, is never going to be subject to God. Am I reading the same scripture that you're reading? For it is not subject to the law of God. And what are the next few words? Neither indeed can it be. That's why you can't give so much attention to your carnal mind and the way that you think apart from God. Because it is designed to pull you away. It is designed to make you be in opposition of righteousness. And if you feed your carnal mind, if you feed your natural mind with the spirit of this age, then you're not going to be able to stand in righteousness because you'll begin to reason within yourself that God didn't say what he said. You don't believe me? We have churches now that say it is okay for clergy to be married to the same sex and minister to congregations that years ago would never have said that. your carnal mind is never going to align with the law of God. It's always going to reason contrary to it. That's why we have to have the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, to fight the carnal mind, to fight the natural mind. That's why we have to have demarcation times where we demonstrate and walk in demonstration, then get the next level of revelation as we do that. Neither, it's never going to be. It's never going to be subject. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? Can't please God. That's what the end of that verse says. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? What, Tanya, what are you really trying to get us to get tonight, this afternoon? I'm trying to get you to get whatever it is that God is saying to you. Because I've said a lot of things, but he's speaking to all of us differently. And he's talking to each of us according to our language. You're hearing my voice, but you're also hearing his voice. You're hearing, he's speaking to you. He's instructing you. He's reminding you. He's challenging you. He's talking to you. It is no way in the world we can please God in the flesh. So we have to ask ourselves, where has my flesh been going after the world? If I'm going after the world, I can't please God. You go after the world, you'll destroy your families. You go after the world, you destroy your children. You go after the world, you destroy generations that are coming up after you. Your seed won't be blessed if you go after the world. But if you hold on to righteousness' sake, even though your flesh says, but I want to go do this. There's nothing wrong with you because you want to go do it. Pastor, can I just say this really, really simple? Just because you have the desire to do it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Just because you have the desire, just because you have the thought, you don't have to act on the thought and you don't have to act on the desire. You get to choose. And what do you get to choose? God, take the desire. That's your experience. We're going to do that because we're going to pray in a minute. God, take the desire. And God says, I'll take the desire. Then over here, you got that phone call from that person. You was invited to go to that bar. You was invited to go to that party. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? I don't think I want to do that tonight. Now, you don't remember that you asked him to take the desire. But when the temptation came, because he had taken the desire, you had now the ability to say no. But you don't even know you had the ability until the Holy Spirit said, remember that you asked me to take the desire from out of you? I took the desire. That's how you could say no. Now keep saying no. Because the enemy comes back again to say, let me call you again. Now you let me down last week. Can we go hang out this week? And then your flesh starts saying, well, yeah, I did let you down last week. Maybe I should go ahead and hang out with you. But if you allow yourself to hear the voice of God, he said, but I took that desire from you. Then if you took it from me, why do I have it again? Because that's all it does. It keeps recycling itself to figure out, can you and it get back in partnership again? But when you decide, I had an experience. I understand now the revelation of that experience, and I want to keep demonstrating that God can keep me. Then I'll walk in that greater place of victory. So God is speaking to each of us today. It's a day of a new experience. It's a day for you to be able to let go of something that you know has been interfering with you. And all week long, I've been challenging this. I've been going after, what is that sin? What is that thing? What is that place in your mind? But I believe today, God wanted you to understand a little bit more about the natural man, the natural mind, the carnal mind that fights against the Spirit of God on the inside of you. That is a battle that you're going to have for the rest of your journey in Christ. Hate to tell you that. You're going to fight because your natural man is not ever going to be subject to the law of God. But every time you wrestle with that thing, you need to know that God has already given you the victory. He's given you the victory and the ability to walk in righteousness. And you may not fight with that thing again, but you'll fight with something else. But each time you fight, I don't know about you guys, you remember the days when you used to have fights as kids? You get better at it. The more you fight, the better you get. And the more you fight, the smarter you become. So instead of doing all the punching, you just begin to, you bob and weave and duck. You don't have to use as much energy. Well, what is that in the Holy Spirit? Let the Lord fight your battle, and you stay in behind him. Oh, come on. There's so many things I can tell you about the goodness of the Word of God in our lives. It'll help us in righteousness. It'll help us walk in this place where we can stand. Listen, families, stay together. Husband and wives, I know it's tough sometimes. Stay together. Those of you who are raising your children God's way, keep doing it. Those of you in the workplace and you're trying to stand for righteousness and everything around you is going against it, if you're a supervisor, manager, director, if you're a boss in the workplace, stand for righteousness. Even though the policies will say you got to enforce these policies, still stand for righteousness. Those of you called to be a preacher of the gospel, called to serve in the ministry, stand for righteousness. Stand for the righteousness in your own life. Make sure you're walking upright in your own life. Hold on, because it's just the enemy that wants you to pull you off your square. God's got good things in store for you. God has great things in store for you. God has awesome things in store for you. There is more in the kingdom of God for you. And it'll be your pleasure to live righteous. Let us stand to our feet. And I pray that this has touched you in some way. If it's okay with Pastor, I just want to pray for those who don't know Christ. If there's somebody here today that came and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to him, or you're backslid, you're so far away from God, and you know, God, if you were to come today, I know I wouldn't be ready to go with you. If that's you, I want to pray for you first, because the devil and your flesh is the partnership that's trying to keep you out of your relationship with God. And I want you not to have that as an issue. I want you to be free to serve God. If you're here this morning, you're backslidden, out of fellowship with God, or you want to get saved, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand, because I want to make sure I pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone? All right, that means that most of you are saved, or you're not ready to come forward yet. And what I will say to you is, please go out, bring some unbelievers in here. Bring the lost to church. Share the love of God with them. How many of you feel that you're ready to lay down some things? I know you got to feel it. I feel it too. I felt some good stuff in that message. Father, we just thank you. We lift our hands before you. We want to walk in righteousness, and we know that you will stand with us. We believe that the bedrock in our life has been penetrated, that you have broken through a new place where the life of your spirit will bubble up in us in a new way. In the days ahead, God, we ask that you would reveal, let revelation come in terms of what it is that you did for us today. And God, let us have a greater demonstration to walk that out, so that you can be glorified in everything that we say and do. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this region. And we ask you, oh God, that the wind of your spirit flow through Marion, Ohio. We ask you, oh God, that servants from far and near come. We ask that you, oh God, would put out the net. We ask that the winds of revival would come. We ask, God, that the wave of your glory would flow. We ask, God, that outrageous love would be released within this place. God, we declare that this church shall move into a greater measure and demonstration of your righteousness. For you have called them to be a beacon in this region. And they have a reputation, God, of that which is holy, of that which is right, of that which is relational, of that which is purposeful, of that which is intentional. And God, I thank you. I pray that you pour waters upon the hands of your servants, oh God, that you would cause them to be refreshed with the Spirit of God on the inside, that the spirit of joy would rise within them again. Thank you for new territory. Thank you for new open doors. Thank you, God, for new ways for this pastor, for these pastors, God. We thank you for the pastors of this house and every leader as they build. May their hands be that much more skillful. God, may the anointing rest upon them. the anointing that makes ministry easy. May there be a shift in an alignment that people will begin to get in their places in a new way. Thank you for fresh leadership coming. Thank you for fresh leadership coming to shore up and undergird the work that you have here. God, we call it forth from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. We thank you, God, for leaders of integrity. We thank you, God, for leaders of purpose. We thank you, God, for leaders that serve. God, of every generation, we call them to this place. Begin to speak to their hearts. Bring them into this place, for you are building again. 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 I see expansion in the spirit. And I see buildings. Not natural buildings. Buildings. Temples. Buildings. Buildings. There's new buildings coming. And so, Father, I thank you for new strategies. I thank you for that, God. I thank you for new vision. And I thank you for refreshing, a refreshing for Pastor. I thank you for refreshing. I thank you for refreshing. I don't know. I just want to say refreshing to you guys. A refreshing. I thank God for a refreshing. Just a pure refreshing that just causes you to just dance and laugh and be, for lack of a better word, just to be childlike with the Father again. Just a refreshing. There's just going to be a time. God's going to bring. There's a time coming. I think in the next 6 months or so, that it's a getaway time. It's a getaway time. It's a getaway time. I don't know how it's going to happen. Who's going to make it happen? But there's a getaway time coming for you guys, and that's what it's for. Go away. Go away. I hear the Lord saying, "Go away. Go away. Go away. Don't worry." Don't worry about what's going to happen back here, but go away. Oh, wow. Just go away. It means something to y'all, so I'm not going to add anything else to it. Obviously, you don't like to go away very often, so he doesn't like to go away. So go away, says the Spirit of the Lord. Pastor Jerry, you got to go away. All right, Pastor Perry, you got to go away. Come on, y'all say it with me. Say go away. Say, go away, go away, go away. You know, I need to do something. I'm going to give you the first $100 to your go away. You bring me my purse. I just want to do this. I'm going to sow my first $100 until they go away. They need to go away. If anybody else wants to join me, join me. If you don't, that's okay. God's going to provide for it. This go away, you ain't going to have to pay for. So while I'm getting my money out, anybody else want to join me? Join me. Y'all just get some money out. Doesn't matter what it is. Just get some money out. We're going to start this by faith. So when they get ready to go away, they don't have to pay for it. I don't want you to pay for it. I want you to go away. Now, they didn't ask me to do this, and they may talk about me really bad when they take me to lunch, and they may tell me, don't do it again, but I can apologize now because I already did it. So I want you to bless them, and today is not the only day. As God puts it on your heart, I want them to have enough to do whatever it is that they want to do. We just want to bless them. All right, so it's theirs. Come, baby, come and get it. Yeah, come get it for your mom and them. Yeah, so we're just going to get it started. It's only just to say we love you. God loves you. You're on the mind of God. You've been so faithful, and we just want to wash your hands. We just really want to put some water on your hands. And Pastor, you need to go away. So you need to get on out of here and go away and do that. So where are my elders at? Elders, where are the elders in the house? All right, where are the, okay, elders, would y'all keep watching over this? Okay, until we get this, we're going to get this done. Okay, so when we get to it enough, let's get to it enough. Don't make it a big deal, because I can tell they don't like a big deal. Just if people want to give to this, is that okay, Pastor? Can I be a pastor for a minute? Can I be the pastor for a minute? Okay, all right. So just y'all watch over this. Make sure they get to get away, okay? All right. Amen. We love you so much. Thank you for letting me come down today and be with you this weekend. Come on, Pastor, and give it to you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, thank you all very much. It's a great blessing, and we appreciate Apostle Tanya getting to be here and share with us today.